song.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, as you can see, they booted me out of my seat here today. I'm in a hotel room somewhere in an underground bunker, as Mark Levin would say, on the Ohio-West Virginia border. Had a great opportunity last night to hear Bill Federer, William J. Federer, the American Minute. Because my wife in here. Okay. Come on in here, sweetheart. We're live and on the air. We heard Bill Federer last night at here in St. Clairsville, Ohio, just next to Wheeling. Let me close the door. And hearing him again tonight, and it was really, really fascinating. As I said yesterday, if you guys have not listened to Bill Federer on JR's show, that link, we sent that link out yesterday. You need to catch up on that. It's really, really good. So we have him tonight. Michelle and I are down as part of luncheon today. And so that's why our setting looks a little bit backwards. In fact, it's kind of crazy to hear with the internet this morning. I've got two things up running, so bear with me if we have a little bit of glitches. And by the way, I feel really, we got in kind of late last night, and so I feel a little bit, normally when I have a big star coming on like Russ, I shoot it out on Facebook and tell everybody, hey, Russ is going to be with us today. And people love listening to Russ. So I'm giving you kind of a late notice today, folks. Listen, we have room for 30 of you. Right now we're up to 18 people who are actively live with us here on the queue. We have up to 12 more of you that can get in here. So we welcome you. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com. And I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong camera. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Huddle. And when you click on Join the Huddle, then you come right in here and you queue with us, and then you can be part of it. You can ask us questions. You can do whatever. So again, CoachDaveLive.com. Click on that. Click on Join the Huddle when you come in. By the way, if it doesn't come up right away, just refresh your browser. Refresh your browser and try it again. Now, I'm a creature of habit. I've got set up before me my computer and my phone. So if sometimes I'm looking at the wrong spot, it's because all of a sudden I forgot which camera I'm actively working on here. So Jared's bearing with us here today. We're doing the best we can. And we're honored to have Russ come and join us today. Always honored when we have Tuesdays with Russ. And I got some stuff that's just kind of, I want to lay out there for Russ to try to deal with us a little bit on, because, you know, a lot of us still don't really understand what's going on. Russ, we were at, first of all, welcome, Russ. Let everybody know you're live and well there.
We're alive and well. Doing good. Good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see everybody.
Russ, you know, took a group of guys to the Gay Pride Parade last week. I hate to use that term. That's what they use. The homosexual, the sodomite parade down in Columbus, Ohio, was massive and huge. And, you know, I've been doing it for quite a while, Russ, and something has happened across this land. I don't know exactly what it is, but they were far more aggressive than they've ever been. And I really felt, I sensed more, for lack of a better word, manifestations of the demonic world this time than any time since I've been there, Russ. You know, we talk about Trump and the deplorables and the snowflakes and all that kind of stuff. There is a real spirit of aggression, I think, Russ, that's been released in this all across this country. Normally, when we go to the gay parade, the homo parade, we would engage, we'd share the gospel, we'd do some street preaching. Man, Russ, they were after us from the time we got there. Manifestation, they were blowing horns. One lady stood in front of us and pounded on the drum for like the 3 hours we were there, never stopped. We were squealing going on. What would manifestations of demons look like in a situation like that, Russ? How would we recognize that? Or is it just, are we crazy to even say that? Do I sound like some far right, tinfoil hat, Bible believing fool when I begin to talk about manifestation of demons?
You're traveling the right way. I've said for years, and I want to say very clearly, that in the world of homosexuality, there is a propensity. If you go back to Sodom, there is a propensity not only to clear your conscience and demand everybody to say you're okay, to force the rest of the world to accept where you're at, but that's not where it stops. All the way back to Sodom, the goal was to get everybody to join them. anybody that opposed them, they are extraordinarily hateful and vengeful. And for example, anybody leaving the gay movement, especially the thousands and thousands who have left that world, and then leadership that leaves that world, they vilify them. I mean, they go after them. So there is a lot of violent, you know, rage in the sense of anybody not accepting. Now, two factors come in. One, in Romans 8, it talks about that the sin nature is hostile to God. So there's a hostility. And the more pronounced the sin, the deeper the embrace of sin, the deeper someone wants to justify the sin, well, then the hostility rises. It rises, and you're going to, you know, gay pride parades, you'll notice, I don't know about that one, but the ones in the past, you have really flamboyant homosexuals dressing up like Jesus, doing a lot of things to really dishonor. I mean, you're talking religious hate crimes in a sense and speech, but you also have this mix then of the demonic side, because end of days prophecy, more demons than ever on the field of human history. One of those avenues is going to be drugs. One of those avenues is going to be direct demon worship, like with the Luciferians and the Saint of Death in Mexico. But a third one, that on a global scale, when God calls them to repent, sexual decadence. So where there is sexual decadence, sexual addiction, and the goal to justify it, hostility of the sin nature, it opens the door for, you know, the demonic side to really begin to show itself. So there is a crowd level, like when the Sabaeans attacked Job and his family. It was a demon-worshipping crowd, demon-worshipping tribe. So when you have the world of homosexuality, gay lesbians, because they're not going to accept the real Christ and turn to the real, you know, God of heaven and follow the scripture, you're going to find them going to alternatives, New Age movement, many other things, paganism, and the mix of drugs. And so you have massive doorway for just kind of a general, you know, manifesting presence of the enemy, demonic side. And then individuals can become very, very, I mean, even to the point, we've had even to the point of demons manifesting through the, you know, individual person.
Well, I've been, as I said, I've been doing it for quite a while. I took about 18 guys with us who'd never been there before, Russ, and I didn't have them fully prepared because I've just never seen them as aggressive as they are. Now I make that connection, Russ. I don't know if any of us really understand the demonic world, how that whole thing works, but something has, for lack of a better term, has agitated, has irritated something in the spirit. That Russ, I'm telling you, they stood in front of us. We had one brother who was trying to street preach. They stood in front of us for the 3 hours and blew horns and pounded on drums. I've never seen anything like that. What?
Yeah.
I mean, you would just be throwing out an opinion, but what's going on, you think?
Well, I think again that that sin nature issue is one thing, because in the last 8 years they've been really promoted and given such room. They've come out because that's what the sin nature does. It wants to justify itself, and it becomes arrogant. You'll look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. There's this whole spiraling of sin. The mind, the thinking gets futile. There's a darkening of the heart. But then you're going to read where it says they either, you know, they're going to applaud those who can, they're going to applaud, they're going to join in, they're going to become very arrogant concerning their position. So listen, just in the context of sin alone, the idea of just the promotion, the arrogance, the hostile stand, that's Romans 1. 18 all the way down to the end. And that's part of that. And yet I believe, since we read Ephesians chapter 2, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit that now works in those who are disobedient. So the broader a person's platform is, and the deeper embrace to sin and the habits of sin, the addictions of sin, then that just is a bigger platform for the enemy to land in and use and stir up. So I believe that on a corporate level, I mean, they're fighting culturally because now the new administration now, I mean, there is a sense of kickback to them over the last year or so. The rest of the culture, the most of the culture truly is not accepting them as far as normal. I mean, there's most people put up with it right now and have been pushed into the corner. You're almost made to feel like you got to either shut up, you're not allowed to speak against them, or you need to come out and celebrate them. And, you know, whether it's institutions, jobs, whether that's Starbucks or, you know, places, corporate places that have been pushed, they've known where to go to gain the places of power and to push their agenda. So now there is this, and you probably saw a mix in that crowd. They're going to be more the liberal crowd also. They're going to be the more anti-Trump crowd politically. But listen, don't negate the fact that this sin nature, the deeper and stronger it embraces, becomes very hostile. And then on the crowd level, you know, they're applauding one another. They're backing one another.
Yeah, they feed off.
Yeah, and sure.
You know, Russ, something else that was really kind of, by the way, we still have room for about 10 of you want to jump in here. And anybody in the queue that'd like to ask a question, just unmute yourself and I can see that and we'll let you jump in. You know, Russ, something else that was very, very discouraging to us is the number of young kids that were there. You know, I mean, very young kids, even I suppose it's 6 years old, 7 years old. You don't really know what's going on. 11, 12, 13, maybe you start to figure it out. And a lot of people had their children there. What are the dangers, Russ, just other than the obvious dangers of kids seeing stuff they should be seeing at that age? Is there for lack of a better term, a transference of spirits? Can stuff jump on kids, on anybody really? An event like that?
Well, I'm going to say in a sense of, absolutely. I mean, there can be spiritual attack. I mean, especially if you have individuals that are so deep into their world of sin, there are demons that operate in those areas. I mean, whether it's necrophilia, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's pedophilia, I mean, that's a major sin addiction issue, but it's also a platform. And so And if a person's into that, if they're into paganism, if they're into other stuff, you've got a lot of demonization that can be going on. Now, there can be spirits that operate, function in the area of, perverted sexuality, lust. And so getting around people that are really wide open to the demons of lust, we've done deliverance where a demon has fully manifested. It was hideous. It was really ugly. I had a law officer with me. And this demon manifested in this younger guy who was going to, he was he was a part of like a gay nightclub, very flamboyant, very outrageous in dress. And you'll notice where you were, there's a lot of open sexuality, in your face sexuality. Not only you must accept us, here's what we need to look out for. You must become like us. You need to experience. Look at Sodom. They wanted the last few people that were not even a part of. They wanted to rape. Please hear this clearly. There's no question that many, many homosexual men were raped sexually when they were young sexually, awakened in a sense through an older man. And that's how they began to practice homosexuality.
So Russ, that's
part of it.
Without making people uncomfortable, I don't care if we make them uncomfortable. Russ, I guess here's the question I'm asking. Could a door be opened for a 11-year-old boy who's down there seeing what's going on, other than just the lust of the eye?
Yeah, there's no question about it. There is no question about it. And it's not a matter of automatic possession. It's not like that movie Fallen with Denzel Washington. It's not automatic possession, but it's automatic influence. If you've got spirits on somebody that's outrageous and embracing and they're just the demonic has a great sense of presence and welcome and freedom. and usually there's almost always more than one demon, it's very possible for transference to occur. I mean, there are sex rituals designed to transfer demons in the sex, you know, sexual act. So do I believe there are demons that function in homosexuality, function in perverse sexuality, and or push individuals towards sexual addictions? Absolutely, yes. So there's no question that the culture, the sin-based culture can influence because, again, it's a peer pressure issue. But then there's the demonic, and there's no question a six-year-old, a 20-year-old, you know, we used to do witnessing in gay bars and then down the street in the biker bars, the Outlaws. And let me tell you something, the atmosphere, the spiritual presence, there's the difference. So there's no question there can be an immediate sense to where demons want to influence, come off and engage, look for, they're predatory. They want to bring another person into the sexual perversion and addiction. So they have room.
Folks, hang in there a second, Russ. I'm working on two different computers here. Hey, Jared, I want to, folks, some of us don't believe it. We don't believe in demon possession. Russ, I came across a guy named Jay Bartlett. I think his name is. Are you familiar with him at all?
I'm not sure the name. I'm not sure.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Other than, this is really pretty interesting. Folks, we're talking about demon possession. Here's what I want to talk a little bit about here today. The impact of the lust in the eye, the pride of life, the flesh. As uncomfortable as we are to talk about it, pornography and the damaging effects that we know pornography is having, and how it leads, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And yeah. I got a little 2-minute video here, Russ, of a young man. I want you to look at this. A 2-minute video. We'll all watch this together. This is a guy named Jay Bartlett who is doing a exorcism. And for many of us, Russ, when we see this kind of stuff, it's scary. My wife, in fact, I was playing it this morning. My wife was laying over here in the bed, and she was asleep, I thought. And all of a sudden, she sat up and looked at me and says, "Ooh, what is that? That's eerie." She was just listening to what was going on in the background. Okay. And I think, Russ, I think it's this idea, this otherworldly idea that scares people away from dealing with the demonic. And so let's just watch this 2-minute real quick video. This man, well, you'll see what it is. And then I'd like your reaction on the other side of that. Jared, go ahead and play that. It says just young man, and it's 2 minutes there.
Yes, he will see it. I want you to see.
But his day is freedom's tonight.
No, it's not.
His day of freedom is tonight.
No, it's not.
I want you to say, I agree.
Oh, no.
Say,
I agree.
Jesus Christ. Has come into the world. To destroy. The works.
Of the devil.
And I am defeated. By the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
God in the flesh.
That's something you'd see on TV. Does that seem real to you, Russ? Is that really what happens?
Yeah, no, I don't know that situation, but it's very similar. When we talk about manifestation, many times demons take over altogether. And the goal ultimately is just command them, order them. But there's times in which we've engaged demons in kind of a discussion like that to find out how they got in, what they're going to do, and commanding them. So I'm going to tell you again, there's no question that demons are in some lives to bring sexual decadence and addictions and to get them to do things. There's rapists who were motivated by the voices, the demonic presence within. So just like a demon can move somebody to go kill, a demon can move somebody to go do other things, attack people, like that guy in Florida that everybody talks about that was eating the head of the other guy, and the officer had to stop him and finally had to shoot him in order to stop the demonized man. To the degree the manifestation, I mean, the demon manifesting means, that's the Greek word, biblical Greek word, diamonizoid, meaning full possession, the idea of taking over everything. Now, the guy there looks like he's, you know, a believer that was authoritative and, I mean, exercising the authority of Christ, which when done makes the demonic presence, yeah, compliant. We order them to say who they are, why they're there, and then ultimately get out is the issue. But there's no question, I'm telling you, in the world of sexual decadence, and we're talking homosexuality, lesbian, all that, and notice again in the world of gay prides and everything else, notice how the sexual element is so pronounced. The lack of clothing and the debauchery, the idea of the public in your face, here's my body, let me, you know, here's my twerking, here's my everything.
You know, Russ, it's amazing you would say that, although it's not really amazing, because I tried to point out to our guys when we were there, if you were going to go to, let's say you were going to go to a Hispanic pride parade, let's say that.
Right.
People would be walking down through the crowd, and they would be, you know, I'm sorry, in the parade, they would have their flags, they would have, they, you know, what country they were from, their families would be marching, they'd be proud of it. If we would have a parade that would take place where, let's say, it was had a theme of a high school baseball team that had just won the state championship. Well, they'd all be out there and they'd be celebrating that. But Russ, you would think that a homosexual pride parade where people are doing nothing more than celebrating who they are. Russ, it would seem to me that guys walking down the street would be carrying, they'd be dressed in ties and carrying signs that, hey, I'm a homosexual and I'm a lawyer and have a very successful law practice. And hey, I'm a homosexual and I'm a school teacher and I've been a school teacher for 25 years. And hey, I'm a homosexual and I'm a plumber and we have a very successful. But Russ, that's not what it is. They walk down there and they totally parade their sexual decadence. In other words, they're trying to call it a homosexual pride. They're trying to make us accept them as normal when, Russ, they're acting deviant, celebrating the deviancy out in the public street. What causes
that? Well, not only that, I mean, you got to remember, homosexuality is sexocentric. The whole relationship is a sexual one. You've got homosexual men that can have 20, 40, 100, 200 partners. You've got individuals that, I mean, the centrality is sexual expression. And so when we would go down to evangelize and go to some of the sex clubs like the one in Canton we went to, I mean, you know, there's drinking, there's music. A lot of the dancing is sexually provocative in the sense that it's almost like having sex with your clothes on. They're humping and, I mean, they're doing all kinds of things to each other. So in the gay pride parades, where they come out to blatantly put it in your face per se, yeah, you're seeing some pretty ugly stuff. They won't even show a lot of that on regular news channels.
They're not going to show that.
You're right.
They won't show it at all. So Russ, right. I want to veer into something because I know that in the homosexual community, pornography is a big deal. But unfortunately, pornography is a big deal everywhere. So for us to say that only the homos are watching porn, we know that's not true. In fact, of the people that are watching out, there are a lot of people that are dealing with it.
Right.
Russ, take us into that world a little bit. By that I mean, what does pornography do to the brain? I know of a situation of a gentleman who just did something that if I were to tell you that he had done it and you knew this guy, you would just say, no way, no way. And yes way. And it was happening because of his pornography use. It's like this, Russ.
Yeah.
When you get into that pornography, it's like your brain quits working. It's like you don't even think straight anymore. Try to take us into that a little bit. What's going on in the guy's mind?
Sure. Well, it alters everything. There's a real sense in which, you know, getting, I mean, we got to remember, you know, that we're created to be sexual. Being sex is a good thing. Sex is a gift from God. The Song of Solomon shows that sexuality, sex is created for procreation and also pleasure in the context of love, in the context of uniting to one person. And it's one of the bonding elements in the Old Testament when Cain knew his wife, Yada. He intimately knew his wife in a knowing. I mean, there's a real sense that sex and all that's involved with it and all the chemistry that's involved with it and all the love and joy and pleasure bonds two people together. Now, we got to realize on the other side of this then the exploitation of it and then the addiction of it. So we're created. I mean, men, listen, we're created. We can get aroused by seeing. I mean, being honest, you can be aroused by certain things. Women need to know that they should not dress to evoke that, to cause that, to say, I only want you to see my hind end. I only want you to see my, you know, breast. You know, let's just be frank. We got to make sure that on the other side of the fence, women are, you know, knowing that there is a power to that. But the other side of the story is, as believers in Christ, first of all, there is a freedom. There is a freedom in Christ that no sin, as it says in Romans 6, sin shall not be my master. Nothing has to be. But we look at what we're supposed to put to death in Colossians chapter 3. Put to death, sexual impurity. And that involves all the different kinds of it. So we're talking about sex outside of God's created, you know, order, outside the safety, freedom, healthy, joyful protection, and out of it being a part of life. Once you take it out of that and become addicted to a sin-based and even a demonically infused side of perverted sexual addiction, then that becomes a center obsession. It moves from sexual, you know, contact to obsession to, because here's what happens in the area of pornography, whether soft or hard pornography. And there's a couple books out that I've used in the past. I think it's really good where it talks about, because it involves chemistry. So we've got to understand that when men are aroused sexually, there's a chemistry, even women, and it kicks in all that chemistry. It then can lead towards an addictive behavior. If you're aroused and move all the way to the sexual act and all the way to the fulfillment of that sexual act, you can build a pattern. It should be built when you have sex the first time with the one you love and you're marrying, that bonds you to the person. That sexual act, there's a chemical release, there's an expression in you that all of a sudden you're now bonded sexually, there's a chemical connection, there's a spiritual connection, and that's where you repeat it over and over and over and over with the same person. Have all the fun you want. But when it becomes self-serving, when sin is the principal motivator, then it becomes addiction. Then it begins to affect our chemical system. Then there's a drive. This is why we read in the book of Romans 6, to whomsoever you obey, you become a slave. If you obey, if you give in to lust, and then you're lusting, pretty soon you're going to be lusting after everything. Every woman, every, you know, you're going to be lusting everywhere. It's going to become a controlling, habitual factor. It's going to want to drive you. Then once you move to that next area of pornography and looking and buying into it, and whether you're buying things or whatever, and you're getting into it and getting into it, that again involves a chemical response in your body that can then turn into a aggressive, addictive format. Your body is wanting it. Your body is pushing for it. Your body is, hey, this is what you did yesterday. This is what you did last week. And so it becomes a chemical sexual addiction that, you know, has to be broken.
You know, Michelle and I, we were talking about it down on the way down here yesterday. Funny that you'd be in the car talking about pornography, but we really were. And for the women out there that are listening right now, I want you to understand this. Pornography to a man is not a love issue. a husband. This is just for me now, Russ, and you straighten me out if you think I'm missing the mark here. A man looks at pornography not for love. It's totally and completely a lust issue, but it's also, I believe, to be an intimacy issue. Anybody who's looked at pornography, any man who looks at pornography, you could sit there and you could look at it for an hour, and at the end of it, would not be able to identify the face of any woman that you looked at in that whole pornography thing. Because when you turn on the pornography, it's not about her face. You understand? It ain't about her face.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, now right. Your attraction is totally and completely not emotional, but it's just lust. It's just lust
right.
pouring off the screen at you. And so a man then, for several different reasons, this is my theory on it now, I'm telling this to women, if their husband is in pornography, it isn't a love issue with you. It doesn't have anything to do with a love issue with you. He doesn't love that woman on the screen. Here's what I think is going on, Russ. I think it's I want you to bring the spiritual dimension in. I believe it's an intimacy issue. What I'm talking about in an intimacy issue, when a guy is looking at pornography, he is, in his own mind, he's fantasizing that the woman he's looking at is attracted to him. It's a fantasy that takes place. The man that's looking at pornography is totally in control of the situation. And so a lot of times guys are frustrated in their lives because they feel like they've lost control of their lives or their wife's bossy or whatever. And so the lure of pornography to some men starts out being nothing more than self-affirming.
Sure.
I deserve this woman. She's pretty. She's attracted to me. That's all fantasizing. But Russ, it is so much darker than that. And any man who starts out looking at pornography or any guy that's looking at it now, and we know statistics tell us, man, oh man, everybody you're bumping into is struggling with this thing. Men have to understand that as all sin, pornography is going to take you farther than you ever want to go, man. And it's sure. going to be so hard. So, Russ, I guess what I'm trying to lead you to try to explain to us a little bit is a man, when he starts looking at the pornography, may start in an innocent way. It may casually be looking at it. But at some point, Russ, it crosses that line. And I believe I believe there's a demonic feature to what's going on. And as we know, the Bible says if a man cleans his house and he goes back and starts doing the same thing, that demon comes seven times stronger. Try to walk us through that spiritual aspect of it, Russ.
Sure, because again, and notice also the pornography, industry or whatever, multi-billion-dollar industry, it knows what to do. You got to understand they are experts at what they're doing to elicit the addiction, to draw people in. And that's all the reason they're out there. They're not doing anything on an educational basis. They're not doing anything on, this is not Wild World of Sports. This is all about draw. And again, it's all about money. So those who are in the industry, they're being paid big, big dollars to do what they do and to go as far as they go. And yes, it will bring about, first of all, it brings about, again, it affects us. Because sexually we're affected chemically and so forth. That's why I'm saying, and this is important, seek to have a good sexual relationship within your own life. Husbands and wives are to bless one another sexually, take care of each other. If everything, listen, that's why I want you to hear me when I say that it's both the power to procreate, but that's not all. There's God created for pleasure and intimacy and fun and fulfillment within relationship. So have all the fun you mutually want to together and agree on together. But when you go outside of that to start having more, there may be reasons. And there may be just simply, this arouses me. So let's just start with it could be a sin-based issue. Just simply because it's self-serving, self-gratifying, and we must realize that that's what it's all about, is it not? I mean, who really looks at pornography and just walks away untouched? People are going to be drawn in,
and it is totally and completely selfish because you're looking at an image. You're not having any impact at all on the people who are on the screen, but it's having a huge impact on you. Totally and completely, right. You are alone. You are in control. And so therefore the expression of love is it's not love. Now, Russ, there's a demonic impact influence to this because it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah.
Right. And just like the Bible says in Ephesians 4, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold. So I believe that when any believer in Christ or any person gives in to that world of anger and they get angry and they're filled with anger, well, that eventually opens a door for demonic attachment to grab a hold and to make something a stronghold. So when somebody gives into lust long enough and they're getting into lusting and then fulfilling that lust through pornography or through sexual activity down at the local, you know, neighborhood, you know, corner or wherever it may be, then when that's repeated over and over and over, that opens the door also. No different. Any aspect of the flesh, the sin nature that we give into long enough becomes a platform for the enemy to come and want to then make grab a hold of it and make it a stronghold. So you have the chemical response in sex alone that if you repeat it again and again and again, it becomes addictive and it becomes, you know, it really affects you chemically, physiologically. The sin nature kicks in and then the demonic can be brought in and it could be a controlling. This is why I'm saying that there are rapists who are driven not just by the sin addiction, but also by demonic presence that's not a demon that functions in anger, but a demon that functions in lust and sexual aggression, sexual lust, and sexual rape even.
Okay, so, you know, we talk about a lot of different things. You call them addictions. They are addictions. The world calls them addictions. But it's even more than that, Russ. I think about people that I know who get hooked on cigarettes. Guys can't quit smoking for whatever reason. They call it a habit, but they're certainly more involved than just being a habit. Or you hear of guys who become alcoholics and they can't control their drinking. And we know how strong that is. Or how about this, overeating, and how hard it is for people to lose weight and stop overeating. There's this spiritual dimension to all this. And Russ, Pornography is more powerful of an addiction than smoking a cigarette, because as you said, there are chemicals that are released in the brain through the sexual experience. And so, Russ, there are a lot of guys out there, maybe some listening to us right now, they're struggling with it, man. They don't want to, but it's like, you know, cast that line, hook them in the mouth, pull them in the room with a dark computer. Get rid of it. And you know, Russ, we say, well, just stop doing it. Well, that sounds good, but it's the same thing you say to a guy smoking cigarettes. Just stop. Well, you can't just stop. What's advice that you would have for a guy who's doing that, Russ, feeling guilty afterwards, says, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going to do it again. Forgive me this time. I'll never do it again. And then two nights later, he's back in that room. A lot of guys are walking through that battle, Russ.
Yeah, and then it comes, we had a guy come in one time, actually a pastor, and he confessed, and he had to confess to his wife. He even got extra credit cards behind the scene that his wife didn't know about, because he got so addicted, so involved, so obsessed that, you know, he's buying into it, spending hundreds and then thousands of dollars. So the first five chapters of the book of Proverbs deals with this issue also, to where you're lured in, you become a part of the adulteress, you give your strength away. I mean, you really do. It brings a ruin. It brings a rottenness to an individual's life. That's what it does. And I think many people that get obsessed, if we want to call it that sense, and they're repeating and going and seem like they're out of control. Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God and you know Jesus and you're filled with the Spirit of God, some of the aspects, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, you know, self-control and the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control means we're liberated from the control of Satan, sin, and a fallen world. I'm liberated. I am set free from the world. I don't have to be sucked in by the world. I don't have to be sucked in by sin. So let me say that the power of the gospel, the power of the new nature, is greater than the sin addictions, sin obsessions, and that there is absolute freedom. Don't let sin lie to you. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the obsession and the failures lie to you. Don't let your theology be based on your failures. The Word of God tells us how we find freedom by, you know, total surrender to Jesus, total, you know, turning to Him, and the power of Jesus to liberate us. So forgiveness and the power to free us from the nature of sin is vital for us to understand. But when we, even as a believer, give back into that sin nature, we can become temporarily a slave. That's Russ, what Romans 6 says, a slave.
I'm reminded, Russ, of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I use this illustration a lot, that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And it says, Lazarus came forth bound in grave clothes. And Jesus said a profound thing there. He said, loose him and let him go. In other words, you can be born again, free from these things, but not even realize that you are. And you're still walking in these attachments that are hanging on to them. And so Jesus has set you free, but you're going to have to kill that beast. You have the ability to do it. It has no power over you anymore other than the power that you let it have. And so what we have to understand is to take it to the cross, prayer, fasting. If you're really, really serious about it, you are free from it, but you're not walking in that freeness.
Right. I mean, I refer to it as the R's, recognition. Hey, I recognize this is a sin issue, and it's got a hold of me. I recognize the sin issue. Number one, I want to repent. And listen, to the degree you repent, if you repent a little bit, you get a little bit of freedom. God, when He calls us to repent, it means all the way. Repentance means turning all the way. So that's vital for us to understand. Repentance is a good thing. Repentance, that word involves our liberation from what's killing us, what's stealing from us, what's taking from us. So repentance is a good thing. And so we come to we come to recognize the sin issue. We come to repent of everything. We come to renounce any and everything involved with it. Burn the bridges. Do what's necessary. You know, whatever you need to do concerning making sure all the magazines, I mean, burn all the avenues. If you're going to repent, you're going to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
And you're going to get rid of the doorways. If you're involved in a, sin-based relationship, a sexual relationship that's outside of God's will, you stop that. So that's what repentance is all about. And see, when we, recognize we're in sin and it's messing us up and we're grieving the Spirit of God and so forth, we're called to come to repent. I'm sorry, Lord. You want to get rid of the guilt. You want to get rid of the shame. You want to get rid of that feeling of grieving the Spirit of God. And the good news is 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all, that sin issue and to cleanse us. Good point. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all that, to purify us. So that's important. But now it's important that we renounce all of it, because repentance involves really that, renouncing that issue. Remember Jesus engaging the woman in the book of Gospel of John, the adulterous woman. They all wanted to stone her. I mean, that's what they wanted. They wanted to come and just stone her and kill her. Jesus is there to engage the forgiveness aspect. But He did say, go and sin no more.
Amen. Amen.
This is what's important. We have been liberated to go and sin no more. Go and never see pornography again. I told somebody yesterday, a guy that came to my house here, he was fixing this chair. We got into witnessing and sharing and talking to him. And his son is just getting out of prison. And he's got a daughter, I believe, that has voices in her head. So I'm offering ministry. We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about all of that together. And how to get freedom, that there really is a freedom to break. I was sharing yesterday, 40 years ago, I've never taken acid again. There's things that we've never done again. Now, where you have a weakness, the enemy may seek to exploit that. The enemy may sin.
Let me jump in here because we're running out of time. And this is so good, sure. Man. This is so good. By the way, Chad down in Texas, the Salt Light Brigade in Texas said, hey, if you're watching in Texas and you got a survey from Chad, answer the survey and return it to him, okay? Russ, I'm going to show another video here, and I want you to help us explain generational curses. Maybe guys are having trouble breaking free from pornography because of something in the bloodline. As crazy as this seems, Jared is a real quick video. It's about 4 minutes there. It's called Voodoo. It's down to the last one called Voodoo Lust. And again, this is the same Jay Barrett, or Jay Barnett, I think his name is. I'm sorry that I'm so confused about his name and trying to mess with my computer here. Just watch this again. Watch this demon speak through this woman. By the way, women are starting to look at pornography. It's unbelievable. I would think that it was always a man thing, right? Not so much anymore. Jared, go ahead and play that real quick. It's 4 minutes. We may not watch it all, but just listen to this. And regarding, again, generational stuff that's been passed down through the family line.
In the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot have this woman, can you? Can you have her anymore?
No.
Can you have her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you have her?
No.
No. How'd you enter her voodoo lust? Mother or father side in Jesus' name? Mother or father side in Jesus' name?
Both.
Because of voodoo rituals? Voodoo lust rituals? How many generations you go back? That's okay. Look at me. How many generations?
1,300.
Back in the 1300s. 1,300
generations.
Ah, spirit. Look at me in Jesus' name. How many of you voodoo lust spirits? How many of you in Jesus' name? Mm-hmm. But you were rooted in idolatry, weren't you? You were rooted in idolatry, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Even before voodoo was formulated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many of you in Jesus' name? How many of you voodoo lust spirits? Mm-hmm. How many of you in Jesus' name? How many of you in Jesus' name? Okay, all 10 of you become bound together as one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Do you have any ancestral parts of her heart? Look at me. Look at me.
Condemnation.
You have a part that you condemn, right? A heart part, right?
Right.
Say we release that part.
We release that part.
Of the heart.
Of the heart.
That we condemn.
That we condemn.
Now look at me. Do you hold any ancestral parts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
19,000?
19,000 of them? Look at me. 19,000 of them? Look at me. 19,000 of them?
Legion.
A legion of these ancestral parts? Say we release them.
We release them.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
All those ancestral parts go to Jesus quickly. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Mm.
Jesus.
Mm.
And all the other parts go to Jesus. In Jesus' name. Rest with the Lord. Voodoo lust, come up. Now! You can't stay there anymore, can you? Now. Now, when I tell you to go, you're going to leave quickly. How many of you? Is there many of you? What did he say? How many? 13,000?
Well, 13,000 generations, 10.
10.
Voodoo lust.
Voodoo lust. Look at me. Look at me. Say we go. Say we go. Say we go.
I don't want to let her.
It doesn't matter what you want to do. You have to obey. Look at me.
She owes me.
What?
She owes me.
Why does she owe you?
Her blood.
It was the blood, right? But she's going to renounce it in Jesus. Okay, look at me, voodoo lust. You have sex with her, don't you?
Yes.
You have sex with her. The bloodline is between you and her body. Now. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, spirit. Look at me, spirit. Look at me, spirit. Voodoo lust, look at me. 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 Say, we go.
We go.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
To the pit.
To the pit.
Out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. Out! Get out of her in Jesus' name. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go, 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 go. Out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, mm-hmm. That's something like right out of the movies, is it?
Yeah.
But, Russ, Well, what, first of all, what's your reaction? And then, Russ, talk about those generational attachments, whatever we would call them. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, on a generational level, and we've had this happen again, satanic ritual abuse, you got all the individuals there. Again, you got parents, grandparents, great-grandparents all the way back. They open up the door. In voodoo rituals, there's a lot of sex, a lot of sex stuff again. So you're going to realize that in and that's true with Jezebel in the book of Revelation in the church, leading them into sexual morality. Occult teaching always has a connection to perverted demonized sexuality. So you could have generational sexuality in the sense that demons that are in grandparents and so forth coming down the line that operate in the sexual sense and even ritualistic sense, well, they want the next generation.
Russ, explain that to me here a second. So if my great-grandfather or my grandfather was involved, I mean, that goes back to that 1900s, early 1900s. But if he was involved with some type of deviant sexual behavior, how does that get passed down to me or my children?
Well, there's an overall culture. I mean, there's a cultural thing in the household. There's a disposition in a body, in a life that can be passed on. But then the demon, listen, if I open up to demons, sex demons or whatever else, and I have them on me, if I have sex with somebody, demons can transfer. If I have demons that I've allowed, sexual demons all over me or something, and there's people in the room, or if I have a family member, that sexual demon might want to go down. And that they're predatory. They want more than just you. Once they got you and can use you, then they can get through you to somebody else. That's why a lot of people have been raped. When a lot of individuals, both boys and girls that have been raped by somebody motivated by a demon, and the demon transfers on to the rape victim. They don't care about the victimization. They love the passivity and the fear. So a lot of victims of sexual abuse have a demon on them because it came from the other person. It's not their fault. And then they might be obsessed in the same way. And so it involves repentance and then renunciation, rebuke, get out of me, get off of me. I renounce the demons of my generations, my family line. Anything that's come down from my family line, I renounce this in the name of Jesus Christ. With the authority Christ gives me, I command any demonic presence that would try to influence me demonically, I renounce you, get out, you will not have anything to do with me. I claim the blood of Jesus and Jesus who has liberated me from that. I claim the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set me free from the law of sin and death. So there may be a need for us that when we repent of sin and the slavery that we've got into, to repent of any kind of, that's why be open to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, is there some undue influence that came down generationally or came from something occult that I've gotten into? I mean, Satanism, voodoo, you get into so many levels of occultism, even the New Age. Tantra sex.
I'm sorry. I just saw yesterday a scientific study has been released that now shows that a woman carries trace DNA of every man she's had sex with. Right? Wow. So if we think about that, we don't even really understand DNA, right? We don't really understand that. But through the sexual act, there appears to be a transference of DNA, which means if it's a transference of DNA, what the heck else might be able, why might men and women have picked up through adulterous fornication that is impacting their lives even today?
No question about it. There's a physiological connection. We need to understand that. We know that. There can be then that chemical, I give into it, I do it, and all the chemistry is involved, and we get into the slavery side of that. Well, that just opens the door. So it can be from demonic presence, from abuse, from things we got into in the occult world, the New Age world, or it can be handed down to where there is a demonic, you saw in that video, that video showed, I think, a real sense of that.
You think that video is real? It wasn't fake.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things I would say there's some things I would want to say, hey, you don't need to do this. You don't need to touch a person. You don't need to make a demon say certain things, but
that was really a demon.
Bottom line, yes. I mean, we've seen the same thing. I had sitting in front of me, a pastor sitting right next to me, an individual, and I'm going to tell you, this is exactly what occurred. I'm praying and we're engaging this demonic, you know, presence in this person. We're commanding to engage it. All of a sudden, Dave, I felt a wave of a filthy, dirty lust. The individual looked at me with this sexual, deviant, but yet this lustful. But I felt all of a sudden, as soon as I felt something, like from the demon, emanating from the demon came this presence. Soon as I felt it, I just repelled it. And immediately I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. I command you. And then we commanded it out. And I looked at my pastor friend next to me and I said, what did you write down? He said, spirit of lust. And I said, that's exactly what it was. And I'm being honest when I say, when that presence was there, it was like it wanted to evoke and draw me into it. So I believe there's people in clubs, there's people in gay pride parades, there's people in all these kind of worlds. They don't have just the addictive slave nature of sex, sins, and so forth. They have a compelling demonic influence that wants to that wants to elicit you in, that wants to transfer, that wants you. And that has to be taken care of by the authority of Jesus. And that's the only way that can be taken care of. You can't take pills to, you know, to calm that down. You can incarcerate a demonized, sexually, you know, motivated, obsessed, demonized person. You can incarcerate them. As soon as they get out, that demon's going to want to do what it wants to do.
Okay, Russ, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We got about 3 or 4 minutes here, Russ. I just wanted maybe if you'd pray for us, Russ, because I really believe that right now, I just know the nature of men. I know the attraction of the lust of the eye. I know the attraction of pornography. I believe there are guys and girls who are listening right now that really want to be free. And I would just ask that you would just, I don't know. Can we do it through?
Yeah, we sure can. And anybody can pray out loud with me too on this. You can just simply pray out loud with me. And if they're watching it later, just pray out loud. Jesus is present where you are. And let's acknowledge again, he's the sin liberator. He died to conquer sin. Forgiveness and freedom and power over sin, addictions, is found in Jesus. And new life and the power to live, amen, you know, for Jesus is in his hands. Father, we come right now. Go ahead.
I can feel you speaking life. The words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I feel that coming through this. It's amazing, isn't it? I feel when you speak life, brother, I feel it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pray for
me. There is. That's the good news. There's liberation in Jesus. That's the great news. You can come out of all of this. No Christian is designed to stay in any kind of bondage through any kind of demonic attachment, any kind of sin, you know, slavery. So, Father, we just come right now in the name of Jesus. We want to come before the Lord Jesus. Lord, we recognize the sin issues that may be in our lives. Lord, we right now just speak it out where you are. You know, the obsession, the sexual issue, pornography. Lord Jesus, I come to renounce this right now, to repent of this right now, to burn all the bridges, to get all this out of my life, to shut all the doors to it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know you'll forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I know you're going to do that. 1 John 1:9. But right now, I also repent and I renounce, and I'm going to do what it says in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to put to death. I'm going to put to death the misdeeds of the body. I'm going to get it out of my life, put it to death forever, and discard this completely because of the victory and the power of the new nature within me. So right now I renounce it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce and I ask forgiveness, Lord. If I have opened the door to any demon spirit that has operated this way, I renounce any demon of lust, demon of sexual sin, generational for my family line, any doors I've opened ever in my life, any transfer that's come into my life, I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Lord, deliver me from any demon operating in sexual sin. I renounce this in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, by the authority you give me, I command any demonic presence from my family line, from my life in any way, get out and never come back. I renounce you. I surrender my whole life to Jesus. Lord Jesus, cleanse me, fill me with the Spirit of God, and I will live in that freedom and the power of God from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So it says, listen, loose him and let him go. You've been loosed out there, folks.
That's right.
You've been loosed.
Yes, sir.
Now you got to kill that demon. Now you got to kill that flesh, and now you have to walk in the fullness of it. Break your computer. Yeah. Do whatever you have to do to get away from that stuff so that shame and that guilt and that whatever it is that's holding you down is going to release you to the fullness of what it is the Lord wants you to do. Russ, we had church today, man. This is
Amen, really brother. Good. That's good. Good stuff.
And I think more people are dealing with this than we even understand. And golly, Russ, we need you, man. We got so much we need to learn. So much we have to learn to walk through, Lord, and to get the freedom thereof. So, folks, thanks for joining us here today. Anything we can do to help, email me. Let me know. Listen, yes, Russ gets bombarded with it. Here's the sad thing, Russ. I hate to say this. It's like you're the only guy that's doing this stuff, you know? So everybody says, hey, can you put me in touch with Russ? Russ, what do we need to do so the rest of us can walk in this power and set others free?
Yeah, and that's why just all of us can grow. And I don't have anything more than anybody else has. Just, grow, know your authority in Jesus, know the depth of that salvation, which is the part of the armor of God. I mean, just grow in the knowledge of God, appropriating truth in your life, living that truth out, and then realize that as a servant of God, filled with the Spirit of God, you're out to win souls to Jesus. You're out to pray for healing. You're out to command. You have the right to and the obligation to command demons off and out of lives. When you lead people out of the sin, slavery, gross addictions and so forth and lifestyles where demons may be on them, motivating them, command that out of them. Get them to repent. Get them to turn. Remember, Jesus is the sin bearer, the sin conqueror. He comes to give new life and release new life. So by all means, as a believer, we read in Galatians, don't use that freedom to indulge the sin, the old sin nature, the sin. We're to renounce all of that and to live in the power of freedom. Don't give the devil, don't give sin any doors. You don't have to.
Russ, we're grateful today that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin.
Hallelujah.
Thanks for being with us today, Russ. God bless you, folks.
Blessings. Blessings, everyone.
See you tomorrow.
Us.
Amen.